Hi, and thank you for listening in to the New Song Podcast from this week's service. You are welcome and encouraged to join us at 10 a.m. on Sundays in person. And for more information on how to get involved with New Song, go to newsonglouisville.org and follow us on social media. And now for today's message.
Hey, I thought we'd start with a little humor this morning. I've had so many of you come and say, Pastor Jeff, we miss your dad jokes. Actually, that's not being honest. I'm sorry. But anyway, I wish you would. I wish you'd come and say, Pastor Jeff, what about more of your dad jokes? It's tough getting old. How many of you have realized it's tough getting old? You know, one thing nobody ever talks about is, when it comes to being an older adult, is how much time we devote to keeping a cardboard box. Because, you know, it is a really good box. Right, honey? Anyway, I can't believe I forgot to go to the gym, you guys. I can't believe. And that's 7 years in a row. I mean, talk about forgetfulness. You know, when you get older, if you drop something, well, you know, when you were younger, you just picked it up. When you're older and you drop something, you kind of stare at it for a bit, contemplating if you actually need it anymore. You know, do I really need that? I don't know. Anyway, I like to make lists. How many of you like to make lists? I also like to leave them laying on the kitchen counter, and then I try to guess what's on the list when I'm at the grocery store. Anybody do that? Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Here's the thought for you. I bet you'd never even thought about this. A giraffe's coffee would be cold by the time it reached the bottom of its throat. Have you ever thought about that? No, you only think about yourselves. I can't believe you guys. Oh my goodness. Have you asked your doctor, by the way, if that drug with 32 pages of side effects is bad for you? Have you thought to ask him about that? That might be helpful. All right, anyway, let's see here. See if there's any more I want to risk telling you today. I think that's enough. All right, let's get to Indestructible Joy part 16 this morning. Can you believe it? We've been enjoying our time in the book of Philippians with the Apostle Paul, learning what it means to have an indestructible joy. Yesterday, as I mentioned, I met a precious couple, Mahid and Melody from Iran, and they escaped Iran, made it to Turkey, then ended up being expelled from Turkey, and they're now living in Virginia Beach, and they go to a friend of mine's church. And it's amazing their heart for the Lord and the joy these guys just exude. Well, this morning as we dive in again to this topic of indestructible joy, let me just say this as we begin today. It's always all about our hearts. Every issue we talk about, everything we preach about, everything from God's Word, really it comes down to an issue of the heart. The heart of the matter is always a matter of the heart. And it's really about our hearts if we're going to receive what God wants us to receive. I'm going to ask you this morning to do something with me. Just put your hand on your heart with me for a moment. Now let's pray as we go into God's Word, because I don't want you to miss anything today. And sometimes it's an amazingly long journey from our head to our heart. It's only about 18 inches, but sometimes it's the longest 18 inches in the world. And I don't want you to miss what God has for you today. So, Lord, with our hands on our hearts, realizing everything really is a matter of the heart, we ask that we'd receive fully from your word today. Especially, Lord, especially as we dive in today about the prevailing peace that you can and will gladly and generously give us. We surrender to you, Jesus. We love your word. Your word's alive and it's active. May your word enter in today. May it bring light. May it change us. May it transform us. And may we become more like you. And may we learn how to live for you, with you, in you, in this world. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Indestructible joy. I've been rehearsing this with you pretty much every week for the last 16 weeks of lessons. Indestructible joy means having a joy that no matter what happens in your life, you continue to trust and praise God, knowing that God in no circumstance has the final word over your life. There's three things that I've talked about for years that I think ought to define every true Christian believer. Three things that ought to kind of leap off the page of their lives, that if you're around them very much, you would see these things in them. One of them is the prevailing peace that we're going to talk about today. We have a prevailing peace that God offers to us, so that even in the midst of a storm, people ought to look at a true Christian's life and say, wow, they're peaceful in the midst of some pretty rough circumstances. The other, as we've talked about, is joy, that regardless of the circumstances, again, this is really alluding to, if you will, an internal state. When your internal state is secure in Jesus and Jesus is securely in you, it doesn't really matter what's happening externally because everything is settled and secure internally. Does that make sense? The other is a joy. There just should be a joy that emanates from our lives. And the third is healthy relationships. We have everything in God's Word that we need to help us know how to go about having healthy relationships, how to communicate, how to forgive, how to work through things. We ought to be marked by that. So this morning I want to talk about the prevailing peace that God gives us during perilous times. The prevailing peace that God longs to give us during perilous times. How many of you would vote with me this morning that you think, like I do, that things just seem to be getting profoundly worse in the world we're living in and not better? They just seem to be trending in a not so good direction. But in the midst of it, let me just say this, in the midst of it, I'm a hopeful person. And I hope you are too, because you should be. Because even as the world decays, you and I have got a kingdom we're going to inherit that is so much better. And it just says to us, our day and our time of being with the Lord is getting closer. Amen? Man, I'm so thankful for that. So what's going on in the world? Here's what Scripture says, and this is a tough passage, I know that, but this is, I really think, where we're living. I'm not sure there's anything on this list that if you were to look at it closely and evaluate it, that you don't see it kind of just exploding, if you will, off the charts in our world today. Take a look at it with me. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Would you vote for that one? You think that one's happening? That people... It's interesting, right? What's one of the things that has just become such an issue in these days? Narcissism. It's like there's more narcissistic people in our country than ever before. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Think greed is growing? Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. Anything on that list that you go, nah, I don't really see that in our world today? I see every bit of it. And I see it growing exponentially to a level that I'm concerned. So how do we have prevailing peace in the midst of a perilous time? I mean, this list defines a lot of what we're seeing and a lot of what we're experiencing in the world we live in day to day. And by the way, this kind of society just sows seeds of discord and evil that continue to bring forth more and more harvests, if you will, of evil and peril and greater concern. And it's going to happen that way. One of the things that I've talked about over the years is living in what we kind of call the Bible Belt, and that's not a common term anymore, but we live in a part of the United States that was characterized by sincere Christianity, but over the years, that kind of morphed into something that wasn't so healthy and wasn't so helpful, and it produced a lot of what I call the religious unsaved. You've ran into them, you've met them. They know how to talk church, they know how to say the right words, they know when they come in the door how to put on the face, but if you look at their lives closely, there's just no fruit whatsoever in their lives of transformation, of Jesus being Lord over their lives. How many of you know what I'm talking about? They kind of know how to play out the role, but they don't have the fruit. And Jesus was so helpful, right, when he says, you really should examine the fruit, because the fruit really helps us trace back to the root, right? And if the root isn't in Christ, then the fruit isn't going to be healthy and good. So a lot of people, even today, pretending to be Christians, but there's just absolutely no heart change. I do believe the future is going to get even crazier, church. And that's why you'll often hear me hitting on this topic, because I want to produce, if you will, I think it's a part of the discipleship process that's so important, that you and I learn to be strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. We learn how to stoke our own fire in the Lord. We learn how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We learn how to go deep in Him in these times, because if times get worse, that's not the time to do that. The time is to prepare now. How many of you hear what I'm saying? You prepare now for what might be an even more challenging future. I don't mean to be freaking you out this morning. Please just hang with me. We're going to get to prevailing peace, but I want to just kind of set the pace and the course. Mark chapter 13, Jesus says something that, wow, will blow you away, right? He says, now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. I don't know about you, but when I read passages like that, I'm like, okay, God, how do I endure to the end? Show me how for my roots to go so deep. Our prophetic theme over the years, rooted, that we would be rooted in Christ, that nothing's going to shake us, that we're going to be secure in him. Because I think it is going to get worse. And the Bible says even the most sacred and close relationships will be bombarded by the enemy to the place that there will be division beyond what you can imagine. But he who endures will be safe. So how do we endure in such time? Because the time to make a decision to be all in and strong in Jesus is before it gets even more perilous, which is right now. Because look at this. Talk about one that'll make your hair curl. Jesus is talking about the end times, and he says, men's hearts will be failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. That's some sobering truth. Very sobering. Men's hearts failing them. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think about this with me for a minute. In a time like that, what's the most precious commodity that you can possibly possess? Because I see a lot of people doing a lot of things. Is it guns? Man, let's go out and get another gun. I need an AR. I mean, let's make sure we've got, got plenty of handguns. Let's make sure we got a shotgun for at home. Let's make sure we've got plenty of ammo. Are guns really going to be the most precious commodity in a time like that? How about food and water? You know, man, there's all kinds of food and water type things that are being distributed out there. You can buy these big packages, and they're guaranteed to last you for so many years and stock up. How about an underground shelter? I'm not trying to make fun of these things. I'm just trying to say, boy, they fall woefully short if you're looking at those as the most precious commodity that you're going to need in the days ahead, because I want a pastor of people who don't fall apart when times get hard, when things are challenging. I want a pastor of people who are secure and strong in Christ. Amen? I want to prepare you. I don't want you to go, man, Pastor Jeff, why didn't you tell us about this? We didn't know this was coming. We thought Christianity was just a bed of roses. What? We thought the world was just going to get better and better. The most precious commodity in difficult times is peace. It's peace. So our question this morning, can you experience a prevailing peace from God during perilous times? Does God offer a peace that is stronger than the adverse circumstances of the world? The answer is, in all caps, absolutely. That's the way I have it in my notes. All caps, absolutely. We got some challenges with our sound here a little bit this morning. Is there a peace that can be experienced? Yes. Why is that? Because you and I are meant to be walking in such a wonderful state of intimacy with the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace himself. How do we walk in it? Well, Paul gives us a prescription. And good to know, right? Because Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions, but the simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. So we need to see the increased danger that may be coming our way, and we need to take precautions so that we don't suffer the consequences. Rather, we can and should, as believers in Jesus who walk with the Prince of Peace, really experience a prevailing peace that other people look at and go, how do you do that? How do you have such a peace? Listen, our world right now, anxiety is skyrocketing. Why is that? The root of anxiety is almost always fear. Jesus says, perfect love casts out what? Fear. So Paul's going to give us a prescription on how to have prevailing peace. Because remember, he's in prison right now. And as he writes these words that we're going to read here in just a little bit, he's probably remembering his earlier Philippian imprisonment. We talked about that several weeks ago. It's just another one of Paul's imprisonments and the prevailing peace that he had and that he experienced then.
and how he had it. And then he's going to teach us how to have it ourselves, whether we're in prison or just in a society that's decaying or in a world that's going to hell in a handbasket. Acts chapter 16, verses 22 through 25, this is back to those days of his former Philippian imprisonment. You know this story, love this story, so powerful. It says, the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods, and when they laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison. I mean, this is the deep, dark recesses of the dungeon, if you will. And he fastened their feet in stocks. That wasn't comfortable, believe me. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And you know what happens? The whole place shakes, and the doors swing wide, and the stocks come off, and they're set free. I'm telling you, praying and praising will bring about a breakthrough even in the worst of circumstances. Praying and praising your way through it. You need to learn how to be a praying, praising person so that you can have prevailing peace even in the worst of situations. Paul had a prevailing peace through prayer, through rejoicing, through focusing on God, and not focusing on the peril, the bad stuff around him, the challenges around him. We're not supposed to be people who are wigging out because of the deterioration of this world. We're supposed to have a peace until Jesus comes back. So when Paul writes, listen, this isn't mere speculation. This isn't, you know, he's not being theoretical. He's not giving you one of those here's what should happen stuff. He's had a personal experience that produces a prevailing peace. He's lived it personally. He's experienced it personally. The peace of God. This is not spiritual blah blah blah. This is real stuff that you can get a hold of, just like Paul got a hold of it. Here we go. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Read it with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. All right, how about all of us this time? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoicing, by the way, isn't just kind of a flippity thing. There's something powerful about rejoicing. Rejoicing, if you were to really give it a definition, here's the definition I want to offer to you this morning. It's to have a calm happiness. A calm happiness. In other words, a happiness, a joy, a rejoicing that's solid, it's stable, and it's unwavering. Paul says that while he's in prison, he has a calm happiness because his happiness isn't about the circumstances surrounding him. He has a calm happiness in the Lord because he knows who the Lord is. He knows what the Lord does. He's not trusting in the circumstances. He's trusting in the God who's God over the circumstances. Calm happiness. And he says, by the way, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. And let me tell you, look it up in Greek. Always means always. That's what it means. Rejoicing isn't a scheduled event. It's not a constant, it's a constant attitude we're supposed to have. Rejoicing doesn't just happen when Glenn stands up here on this platform and says, okay, folks, let's worship the Lord. That's not the only time you're to rejoice in this life in Christ. That's just one of the times we get to, in such a blessed way, we get to rejoice together as a body. But you're to rejoice always. Always. When you're alone, when you're with others, when things are going really good, when things aren't going so good, you rejoice always, always, always. And listen, Paul thinks it's so important that you and I get this little principle down that he decides to repeat it. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Just so you don't miss it. Just so you don't forget it. Just so it's right in the front of your mind. Especially when the time gets tough. Especially when somebody says something about you that's not nice. Especially when your day just didn't get off to the right start. Especially when you get out of bed on the wrong side, so to speak. Especially when you're in traffic and somebody cuts you off. Boy, I had a guy the other day. I mean, if he could have, he enacted road rage through his eyes at me. You know what I'm saying? And he was in a big old pickup truck. Thank God he didn't run over me. My wife was with me. I'm trying to pull in, and we're turning at a light, and as we turn, somebody was turning into a side thing there, so it caused it to back up a little bit, so it put me kind of in his way, but it wasn't my fault that this person had chose to turn, but if he could have ran over me, he would have ran over me. And in that moment, I had a choice to make. And I chose to forgive him and just to rejoice. We got a lot of choices to make in this life, don't we? Whole lot of choices. Always. And he says, let me just repeat this. Because I don't want you to miss it. Rejoice. And then Paul says in another one of his epistles, 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always. There it is again. Pray without ceasing. How many of you, when I was a young Christian, quite honestly, I never could understand that whole pray without ceasing thing. I thought, what does that mean? How in the world do I pray without ceasing? You know, I mean, I have my little 5-10 minutes every morning. And sometimes that's hard to get through. But how many of you, the longer you have walked with the Lord, the more deep your relationship has gone with him, you kind of begin to understand more and more what it means to pray without ceasing. Your life just, it's like you begin to live in a rhythm of prayer. It's like you're just kind of prayerfully approaching everything in life. Maybe it's just under your breath, but you're in constant communion with the Lord. You're learning to walk with him through anything and everything, wherever you are. You're just in a prayerful state. Hey, I'm going to rejoice. Hallelujah. All right, somebody testing me back there. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. No, just kidding. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know how many times over the years of pastoring now, over 30 years, that I've been asked by people, what is the will of God for my life? It's probably the number one question from most Christians. I want to know what God's will is in my life. There's three times in the New Testament where God's word says very clearly what his will is. Can I just say this to you? If you really want to know what his will is, focus on the things he's already told you are his will, and then the rest will get clear. So in other words, here, let me test this out with you. Let me test this out. If you're really wanting to know what God's will is, here's my question for you. Have you got this one down yet? You get this one down, he'll show you the rest. You ought to work on this one. You like that, my little Vanna thing there? A little Vanna White thing? All right. And by the way, will, God's will, can also be defined God's desire. His deepest desire for you, let's put it that way, his deepest desire for you is that you'd learn to rejoice always and that you'd learn to pray without ceasing, just walking in that constant communion with God, and that in everything you'd go ahead and just give thanks, even for the tough things, the rough things, the things that are hard to give thanks for that's his will for you in Christ Jesus. So this is a really good one for you to grab hold of today, because now you know today for the rest of the day what his will is for you, and it's going to be the same tomorrow. So, man, that was just thrown in for free right there, folks. That was thrown in for free. So, all right, this rejoicing always, this praying without ceasing, this focusing on God attitude, that's God's will for your life. And therefore, Paul is saying, in a sense, this is the battle cry for the believer. I mean, how important is this? It's so important, he calls it the will of God. It's so important that he repeats it. He wants us to get those right things to fall in place in our lives so everything else falls in place for you. He knew those building blocks are what will produce a prevailing peace in perilous times. He knew it. That indestructible joy and prevailing peace will come through these things. Let's get back to Philippians 4:5. It says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So if we talked about rejoicing as calm happiness, then how do you define gentleness? Well, it's kind of a tough word to define from the Greek, but here's the best shot at it. It's calm reasonableness. Calm reasonableness. Not irrational, not unstable, not unreasonable. We're to be known as people who have a calm, stable reasonableness about us. A holy composure, if you will, about us, even in the difficult times. Again, this is why this ought to jump off the page to people around you if you really are walking in the Lord. And by the way, he gives us a really nice little tag on here. The Lord's at hand. This can mean a couple of different things, right? It can mean the Lord's coming is close, but it can also mean God's with you. God's with you. And this was always the defining circumstance in almost every Old Testament character's life who did great things for God. God was with them. Let your gentleness be known to all men. God's with you. Can I just address a part of our brokenness that seems like it's kind of escalated in these last few years especially? And maybe some of us, quite honestly, would need to repent in all honesty. It seems to me that there's some people out there who just don't want or don't like a calm reasonableness in their lives. How many of you know what I'm talking about? What they thrive on is drama. And everywhere they go, it just seems like they stir up drama. They kind of bring drama with them. You know, I'm here, and guess what I brought? I brought a little drama. It's one of those people where, you know, you're going to have a get-together, and all of a sudden you find out so-and-so's coming, and you go, oh, man, I wonder what's going to happen this time. I wonder what they're going to say. I wonder who they're going to upset. I wonder who's going to get into it this time. I wonder what's going to be the fallout this time. Have you know what I'm... If you don't know, then that might be you. And let me just say, you know, some people just, they're so used to drama that if there isn't some currently, then they feel like it's their job and their assignment to stir some up. You know what I'm saying? Let me just give you two words for that here this morning. Stop it. Just stop it. I know, that sounds like... what was his name? I can't think of his name. Huh? Yeah, Bob Newhart right there. Just stop it. If you haven't seen that video, you should check it out. Repent of it. And part of it is they love the attention. But drama is not what God desires for you. Calm reasonableness, calm happiness, healthy relationships, prevailing peace, indestructible joy. Here's a thought that people would actually like to be around you. That people might actually be drawn to you in some sense because Christ himself is shining through you. All right, let's get back to Philippians. Here we go. Philippians 4, 6. Look at this. We're building something here. There's layer by layer. Let me do it that way, layer by layer. He's teaching us something. He's constructing something. You get the building blocks in place and you build accordingly, you'll get the results. Now he's getting to the good stuff here, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Boy, this is important stuff, church. And when we don't have prevailing peace and indestructible joy and calm happiness and calm reasonableness, this is probably where we need to go back to and we need to evaluate. We're not to be anxious. We're not to be nervous. We're not to be unsettled. We're not to be fearful, especially of the future, knowing who's got our lives in their hands. In everything. In other words, in anything that causes you anxiety, anything, you're to be tackling that in prayer. You're to be aggressively seizing that in prayer. You're to be taking hold of that, not letting it just run wild in your life. You're to take hold of it and take it captive through prayer. By the way, this word supplication is a very cool word. One of the alternatives we could give for that is practicing the presence of God. I'm not sure there's too much more important for you and I than to really, really, really learn how to practice God's presence in our lives. So I'm going to put it in there and think about it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, pray and practice God's presence. Recognizing that He is with you every single moment, and the moment you need to be most concerned about is this moment, the present. And His presence is with you in this present moment. And then He throws something in, and I love it. He says to infuse your prayers with some thanks to God. Sprinkle in some thanks. Throw in some thanks. Throw in a grateful heart. Let gratitude sprinkle in to those prayers. Let gratitude come out of your mouth to God. This goes back right to what we talked about in the beginning. Praying and praising. Praying and praising. Oh, but there's so many problems. There's so many challenges in life. The breakthrough will come as you learn to pray and to praise. Pray and to praise. Pray and to praise. With thanksgiving. Thanking God for who He is. Thanking God for what He does. Thanking God for all of His promises. Thanking God for the hope that He gives. Thanking God for the peace that He gives. Thanking God for the indestructible joy that He has. Let me just give you a couple scenarios and just kind of pray them through just quickly for you. Well, you know, you're struggling with provision. Man, coming before the Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that you are a loving, generous Father. You know my needs before I even ask. You are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And I'm so thankful for the ways you have provided for me throughout my past. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. You meet all of my needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Boy, you start praying and praising like that, and the circumstances change, your heart changes, the way you see things change, everything changes. How about you're dealing with fear? Lord, I am thankful that I am in Christ, and Christ is in me, and I am thankful that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world, and I am not given a spirit of fear, but Lord, you've given me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You've given me all power and all authority over all the works of the enemy. You've made me more than a conqueror in Christ, and for that, Lord, I am thankful. Well, all of a sudden, it just starts to change the way you think and the way you see. When we start to live, pray, and be thankful like that, then guess what happens? Here it is. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Wow, wow, wow. That is what we've been working toward, right? That is what we've been building for. The peace of God, the calm, quiet, rest, the shalom of God, the well-being of spirit and mind, the peace that surpasses all your understanding. That means, listen, that means it's bigger, it's greater, it's stronger than any natural reasoning. It's bigger, greater, stronger than your intellect. It's more powerful than opposing circumstances. It triumphs over all your weaknesses, all your inabilities, all your limitations. He is able. And it guards your heart and your mind. The peace of God becomes, when you practice these things, it becomes a fortress of soldiers, if you will, sent to defend the territory of your heart and your mind from anxiety, fear, and worry. Praise God. Let me just say this. The peace of God sometimes takes a bit of war to enter into. The peace of God takes some maybe unpeaceable parts to enter into. You got to fight for the peace. So in summary, here we go. Rejoice in the Lord. Have a calm happiness. Realize the Lord is at hand. Walk in a calm reasonableness. Request with thanksgiving, remembering who Jesus is and what Jesus does, and receive the peace and the protection that guards your hearts and your mind from anxiety. Philippians 4, 8, and 9, this is what Paul's going to say, and it's a part of this whole equation, right? And sometimes we hear this taught on just separately, just kind of taken out of this passage, but it's a continuation here. And what he's telling us is this: do all these things and then rehearse the truth over and over and over in your mind. Rehearse it over. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's powerful. That's powerful. Rehearsing truth is just one more thing that causes the Prince of Peace to descend upon your life and bring the peace of God even in perilous times. Paul says, I've taught you this. I've showed you this. You know this is real. Now do it, and you'll have the peace that prevails over peril in your life. And I got to just throw in one more scripture because I love this scripture so much. And this one's been precious to me for many, many years. It's the Old Testament version of everything we've been talking about today. And it just kind of cements so much of what we've talked about. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. This is a promise from God to you. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh, the Lord, the great I am, is everlasting strength. Perfect peace, prevailing peace, comes from a focused mind, focused on the Lord, focused on his presence, rejoicing. And allowing him to bring that strength, to bring that peace. He's with you, even in the most difficult situations. He comes and he produces an everlasting strength. How many of you this morning, as we close today, I just want to give you an opportunity here. If you've been struggling with walking in true peace, would you just stand real quick? Would you just stand? I want to pray for you as we close today. You just be brave enough just to stand and say, this is an area I've struggled with. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not perfect in this by any means. But I'm being perfected in this. God continues to help me to grow in this. Sometimes I end up making the wrong choice. Sometimes I end up pulling back instead of pushing forward. And God is gracious and he gives me another chance to step forward and to praise him and to pray and to practice his presence and to see his strength and to see peace come. So Lord, right now, for everyone standing right now, Lord, would you bring a prevailing peace to each heart, Lord, including mine, a prevailing peace that is so much greater and so much stronger than the circumstances surrounding our lives, the situations that we find ourselves in. Some of us find ourselves in some situations that we never even imagined that would happen to us or to our family. And in the midst of it, God says, I'm going to put a hedge of peace around you. I'm going to cover you with my peace. I'm putting a garrison of soldiers around your heart to guard your heart and your mind with my peace. Because I love so much. The Lord, right now, just minister your peace to each one. Minister your peace. Break off every bit of fear. Break off everything the enemies try to bring in, all the doubts and questions. Bring your peace, Lord. We're just so thankful for it. A calm happiness, a calm reasonableness, a rejoicing, a trusting, a praising and a praying continually, a practicing of your presence. Teach us and show us, Lord, how to walk in that in deeper ways, so that we can always have that peace and never lose it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.